And I want to make a reminder of an announcement that went out via email that all you should have received, and that is about the Clarendon Christian Learning Center meeting that we are hosting. All the area churches have been invited. I believe the list was some 19 or 20 churches strong. We're going to be having it Monday night in our fellowship hall at 6 o'clock. As I understand it from those that have scheduled this and put this together, they are going to provide a meal for us and childcare, because they really, and that was part of even the letter that went out, because they want it to be a truly community type of effort, and would need to be, according to the program in Manning. I think it is one of those things that obviously the more churches that we have involved, the better the program can be. This is kind of, to me, it's kind of exciting that we have even the option. I mean, as I understand it, and that's what this meeting's about, there's probably several things that I've got wrong, but as I understand it, they can literally take this class for credit.
One unit
of credit for studying the Bible. Now, again, so I think that's pretty cool, and obviously it's going to take, this is just an informational meeting where they're going to come and share their program, what they've done. I assume they'll be able to give us some tips of things to avoid, some things to do. But it would be my hope that out of this meeting, some sort of a steering committee amongst the churches could be formed to actually begin a process of maybe seeing this become reality. So anyway, I encourage you to come on out. Again, it's Monday night, 6 o'clock. I don't know. Well, it says spaghetti dinner. There you go. Spaghetti dinner and childcare provided. So we'll be praying about that after a while, about the meeting, but wanted to make the announcement. So, all right. Any other announcements before we get started? All right. Let's pray and go. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've already given us, for the opportunities to serve, for the way that you shape, mold our lives. And Lord, we know that we want to open our hearts more to you. Because we want to become more like you. And we know that the closer that we move to you and the more that we allow you to work in our lives, then, Lord, the changes, the good changes that will take place in our lives, and we look forward to that. And we know, Lord, that a big part of that is understanding your word and allowing your word to speak to us, to our needs, to our circumstance, to what's going on. And so we pray tonight as we take a look and read your word that we will not just hear words or hear ancient stories, but that we will allow your spirit to bring these words to life, that they will speak to where we are and what we're going through right now. So again, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of being together. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to be looking at Psalm 143 tonight. Psalm 143. And while you're going there, just a couple quick thoughts about Psalm. First of all, you don't read Psalms like you read 2 Chronicles. Because Psalms is, in many ways, it's been called the hymn book because many of the Psalms were written to musical notes, and many of the Psalms were obviously intended to be prayers and are prayers, so it's been called a prayer book. It's certainly, many of them are poetic, and again, you don't read poetry the same way that you read history. Poetry is there to capture the imagination, to paint word pictures, to really help you to not just know information, but actually become involved in the information. So anyway, Psalms is one of those things that thankfully most of them are not long, and this one isn't long. We're not studying Psalm 119, so we should easily be able to get through Psalm 143 tonight. But really, Psalm 143 is nothing more than a prayer of David, a cry out for deliverance. David certainly is accredited to many of the Psalms, not all of them, but to many of them, he is accredited as being the author. So anyway, Psalm 143, we're going to read, we'll just read it through in its entirety. It's only 12 verses long, and then we'll go back and take a look at a couple of things. It says, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and in your righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I'm your servant. And again, a simple prayer. And I love the fact that as David begins his prayer, and how many of us, if we're honest, haven't said something similar. Lord, hear me here, Lord. Answer me, you know, come to me. And David isn't appealing to his own righteousness or to his own accredits. He's appealing to God's own faithfulness and to God's own righteousness. He said, because if I have to stand before you, he said, well, then he said, I'm guilty, I'm not righteous. But he said, answer my prayer in your faithfulness and in your righteousness. Now, in David's case, very quickly, I mean, he's obviously got some enemies that are after him. And at least at this point, from his perspective, he believes that the enemy kind of has the upper hand right now in what's going on, that they're winning. And the truth is, though these very well may have been Philistines, I don't know, they may not have been, we just know that David had some enemies that were after him. And even though we might not have that kind of enemy, I suppose the cause of Christ has enemies like ISIS and those sorts, but we don't really see them face to face, at least not too often, not in our country. But the truth is, regardless, as followers of Christ, we absolutely know that there's going to be enemies that are coming against us. And we know that in part because we have, as Scripture says, the enemy, Satan, the devil, who's like a roaring lion. He's always trying to devour us. So in my mind, anytime you're actually trying to do something that God wants you to do, you usually got to realize that there's going to be enemies that are coming against you. Now, many times these enemies come from the outside of it, from the outside, don't they? I mean, for David, if it was the Philistines, then it would be, you know, it'd be easy to put a face on them. You think of the story of Nehemiah, and I guess it's been a few weeks now, but we at least looked at a few of these in Sunday school a while back. And when Nehemiah was doing what he's supposed to do, right? If you recall the story, I mean, God put a burden on his heart to go back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in a mess, and so God opened the door for him to go back and to rebuild the wall, and everything's going pretty good, isn't it? But it's not very long till they start working and start making some progress. If you remember the story, all of a sudden they've got some enemies that showed up. You know, and they tried to distract them. They tried to threaten them. They tried to even overpower them, but enemies. And it wasn't because Nehemiah wasn't being faithful. He was doing what he was supposed to do, but enemies came. And we kind of expect that, right? I mean, we should. If we're doing anything, we should expect. Now the enemy can't get the upper hand. We probably need to do the same thing David did. That is simply call out for God's grace, God's deliverance, and for God's provision. But I think sometimes what we, you know, and these are the harder ones, I think, to deal with, is sometimes the enemy comes from within. You know, think about the story of David and Goliath. Now, it's one thing for Goliath to be blaspheming, you know, the living God, right? And every morning he got up and he called out to the battle lines, and he was obviously big, and he was blaspheming, and basically Israel said they didn't want any part of him, right? And David shows up. You guys remember the story, right? David and Goliath, you know, slingshot, stones, you know, all that stuff, right? Got it. All right. So we know that David went out and did battle, but do you remember the part that as he was saying, hey, you know, when David showed up, he said, we can't let him get away with that. We cannot let that Philistine get away with that. And all of a sudden, instead of everybody rallying around him, if you know the story, his own brothers began to ridicule him. You're just a runt kid, you know, our little brother, you know. And in other words, opposition quickly came against him. So enemies are part of following the Lord. When you're doing what you're supposed to do, you know they're coming. It's okay because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We simply turn to the Lord and we cry out for deliverance. And our deliverance is just like David's deliverance. It's not based on us and who we are, but it's always based on God's faithfulness and on God's righteousness. But the verse that I really want us to focus on tonight, the verse that really that captured my attention is verse 8. It says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. And maybe David wrote this at night. I don't know about you, but do you ever notice how at night sometimes you can have some of your best worries of all time until morning shows up? A lot of things can run through your mind at night. But anyway, for David, he said, let the morning, you know, when the sun comes, let the morning bring word of your unfailing love, for I've put my trust in you. And then he said, show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. And here's the point, and I'm going to risk just going ahead and telling you the point right up front. That way we don't have to kind of build to it. You just know where I'm going. The more we know that God loves us, the more we'll trust. And the more we trust, the more willing we will be to follow wherever he leads. That's what I see jumping out of verse 8. God's unfailing love. So, how do we know that God loves us? And to me, that's crucial. Because in everything that we do, we believe that God loves us. And we believe that love is powerful. We believe that it changes things. You know, we've got on the front of our bulletin that we want to change lives by faithfully and intentionally sharing Christ's love. Because we think when we do that, lives are changed, right? So how do we know that God loves us? How do we know that God loves us? Does God love you, Mr. Maxey?
He does.
How do you know that?
Well, I guess the ultimate proof is the fact that he sent his son to die for him. He gave us the most precious thing that he had.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, the cross. I mean, obviously, the cross not only teaches us about God's judgment and how much God detests sin, by the way, and it does teach us that, but even more, it teaches us the richness of God's love for us. So, I was looking for a cross to point at, and I guess the only cross we got in here is the one on top of the Christian flag. All right. All right. Give me another one. How else do you know? All right, let's do another one.
When I consider God's great grace and his mercy, my daddy, I couldn't compare him to God, but there's a lot of comparisons there. And even when I did wrong, he still loved me enough to show mercy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And God does. I can be as sorry as I want to.
Yeah.
Still loves me enough to show me mercy and grace and give me a second chance, a third, fourth.
Amen to that. I love the old line. You guys heard me use it so many times. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Wow. All right? There's a couple of ways. How else do we know God loves us? Sure, jump in. He provides, he's promised to provide. And my God shall supply all of your needs. So, you know, again, if you take the metaphor of parenting, you know, I mean, one of the ways that I like to think that I still try to show my children that I love them is I try to provide things and do things for them to let them know, hey, they can count on me. And God basically said, hey, you can count on me. I'm going to take care of you. So, yes, provision, absolutely. Huh? Okay. Yep. And he's faithful. Always there. All right.
There's another way, which we don't particularly enjoy, maybe. The Hebrew says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so when Dick Blank does something that's not pleasing to the Lord, he chastens. He chastens in love. When the Lord loves, he chastens. And so he shows his love that way as well. That's not the way we like it most times, but
no, that's
like a loving parent disciplines their children.
Absolutely. It's a... because if it didn't love us and didn't correct, he wouldn't care to correct us. Okay, sure.
He protects us.
He protects us, absolutely. He won't ever leave us, yeah. He protects us, he provides, he won't leave, he's faithful. Doesn't lie to us. Absolutely. Through the Spirit and through, you know, and timing. Yeah, I mean, the Holy Spirit lets us know, hey, this is real. The one that, and these are all absolutely spot on, the one that he just told us he loved us, right? In Scripture. For God so loved the world. Or, you know, God demonstrated his own love toward us. You know, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. I mean, with repetition, God has said, I love you. And then to unpack that love, that's where I believe we get all this other stuff coming in. The faithfulness and the provision and the promises of protection, the discipline, the, you know, the mercy, the forgiveness. I mean, these are all examples of how God loves us. It's, in many ways, it is a love letter to us. It certainly is. So, I mean, the one thing that we can say, you know, and I think we need to be able to tell all people this is, you know, God loves you. You know, I mean, and we need to be able to say, well, you know, and here's why I know God loves you.
I've got one more.
All right, hit me with it.
I wouldn't do it too, but I got one more.
Let's do the trifecta. Absolutely.
God lets us, through his word and through his spirit, he shares with us what his label is, what is right or wrong.
And we know.
If we'll listen, he'll tell us.
An old preacher, acquaintance of mine from years ago said, we all have a knower deep down inside of us. A knower. He said, you just know whether it's right or you know whether it's wrong. And God put that there, he said. And I think that's exactly right. I mean, does it not astound you how much that God has a plan for each and every one of us? And it's not a haphazard, oh, let me see what I can conjure up for Rodney this week. You know, I mean, God's got a perfect plan. Now, I mess it up with regularity and some, you know, I'm a bonehead about a lot of stuff, but God's got a plan. And if I'm just open enough to it, You know, if I really just open myself to love, then all of a sudden things start coming together and I see all this stuff fitting together so perfectly and beautifully. Just kind of amazes me. I mean, that's look, really, when you stop and think about, I mean, we've really just begun to scratch the surface of ways that we can show that God loves us, right? All right. Now, one of the key things, and because of that, I mean, how do we then share or show God's love for other people? Because there's some things that only God can do with us, but how do we share? How do we share God's love with other people? Because we say if we're intentional and faithful in sharing Christ's love, that lives will be changed. And I think we want some lives to be changed. So how do we do that? What on earth does it look like, sharing Christ's love? All right, here is advertisement. I don't even know what the thunder is, because I've confessed I haven't read the lesson yet. So I can't steal the thunder because I don't know what it is. But we're going to learn about how to share the love of Christ Sunday. By the way, if you're here this Sunday at 9:30, you get donuts and coffee and juice. And then at 10, if you stay over at Mr. Maxey's class, you're gonna get the answer to the question.
He's gonna have about 10 minutes to share because it's promotion Sunday.
Ah, well, hey, we may have to give him more. I may have to give him my time.
Maybe the next Sunday.
Yeah. But how do we share the love of Jesus? All right, so we tell them. Absolutely. Whether we call that witnessing or whether we're just living our life, but telling people what Jesus did for us. Absolutely. We exemplify the fruit of the Spirit. Absolutely. I wish I did more than I do sometimes, but the love, the joy, the peace, the faithfulness, the long-suffering, Galatians 5 list, yeah. In other words, there's things that are part of our life, and we show them those things, okay? Any other way? Or maybe I need to just leave it open-ended, because come Sunday. But I think sharing God's love is real important as a church. And I think we need to have pretty clear things in our mind about what that means. Sure, Justin.
Not only do we show our character of God, but we also show our reputation.
Okay, how so? Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely. Because it all comes back, what? Because we know this, and why God's love is so important, is the more we know that God loves us, the more we'll trust God. And the more we trust God, the more willing we are to let God show us the way we need to go. And if that's true for us, we know that's true for others, right? So sharing Christ's love. So the petition was, show me your love, or may your love, well, let me just read it. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. So the first part, I think, again, is grounded in God's love, and out of that love comes trust, and then it's this idea of, I really want to know and want to do what God wants me to do. And that, I think, is one of the preeminent questions that we have to. I think that's maybe for some a little more difficult to answer than it is about how we know that God loves us. But how do we know the way that God wants us to go? Well, I'm going to start you out with going back to how we know that God loves us, and that's back to the Word, right? There are so many things that people will come and say, that they don't know if they should do this or they should do that. And the truth is, if they spent just a little time in here, they wouldn't have any question about it, because it's absolutely clear whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Because as Mr. Maxey laid out, God has labeled right and wrong for us, and that's not our place. And many times, God's will, sometimes we think, oh, it's hard to figure out, but many times it's just right there before us. It's black and white. All we got to do is get into the Word because it's right there. And we'll know what to do. I think prayer, obviously, is important because, you know, in prayer, and it's, again, prayer is not a monologue where you get to tell God everything it is that you want to tell God. Now, you get to talk to God, you get to, but prayer is also listening. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in prayer that all of a sudden God has spoken with such great clarity. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. You know, yeah. You know, it's like, wow, if I, you know. And so, you know, we get into the Word, and the more we get into it, the greater clarity that comes to us. Okay, this is what I need to do. We begin to pray about it, and we begin to listen to what God has to say to us. Like, wow, okay, I think I'm getting it. And those are two, probably those are the two main ones. But also think about how that God often uses circumstances. And I kind of like this. Sometimes when I'm trying to figure out God's will, sometimes the circumstances begin to bring clarity, right? For the Apostle Paul, he is trying to figure out which way to go. Do I go to Bithynia? Do I go to Pamphylia? You know, do I go to Mycenae? Where do I go? He said, I went here and I went there. And every time I went, God slammed the door shut. And finally, he said, I figured out I was supposed to go to Macedonia. Supposed to go to Greece. All right? Circumstances. Sometimes our circumstances, God uses our circumstances to begin to give us the direction that we're supposed to have. Sometimes the circumstances may be small and seemingly insignificant, but they become affirmations to something that God's trying to tell us. When I was in Honduras this last time, there was one day in the office, and me and a couple of guys that we was working with was doing some projects in the office itself, and the director came in, and I don't know, there was a conversation between us, and at some point I simply said something to the fact, you know, one of my biggest regrets of all my time here, one of my biggest regrets is I spent so much time focusing on so many of the details that had to be done that I didn't spend as much time with the kids as I wanted to. I said, now Teresa got a lot of time because they were always sick. So she was always with them. But I said, I didn't get to spend nearly. I said, you know, occasionally I would stop and play and have such a good time and they would love it. And I said, but boy, if I had it to do over again, I said, I would, even if I had to work later into the night, I think I'd have taken a little more time. And the director just kind of looked at me and said, she said, that was my devotion today. She said, I wrote in my journal, I don't want to have any regrets. Now, how, I certainly didn't know, but even, see how God, I think often, sometimes people will do things or say things to us out of the blue to them, but God's making a point. You know? And so, yes, our circumstances, God uses them to help give us direction and guidance. God uses other people. In fact, if you don't have somebody, you should try to find somebody that you thoroughly respect. Again, not that they tell you what to do, but that they help you sometimes clear away some of the stuff that's going on so that you can hear God or so that you can see what God's trying to say to you. But others can be a help to us. I think one of the powerful ways that God often gives us direction is through, well, sometimes whether it's reoccurring thoughts or feelings or through a burden. We use Nehemiah already, right? If you read the opening chapter, he had a burden. Man, it was deep and intense. And if you read that, he was fasting and praying. And I mean, he was serious. God burdened his heart to go build that wall. And I think sometimes we need to listen to a heart and realize that God's at work, you know, speaking to us. My testimony is there's been more than once that God will lay somebody on my heart. You know, I may have a list oftentimes of who I'm going to go see or what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden in the middle of my round, it's like, oh, you know, maybe I'll swing by and see so-and-so. And then I go by and see them. It's like, wow, I'm so glad you came today. See, I believe that's God at work. You know, speaking and moving. And if you really want to know, if you're serious about show me the way, Lord, then when you're following the Lord, you get a resulting peace that simply comes upon you. And I don't know how to really explain that to you, except you know what it is if you've been following the Lord very long. Because when you're really doing and following Jesus and doing what he wants you to do, all of a sudden you're just at peace. And if you're not at peace, keep praying, keep looking, keep searching.
You also have to have a great unbiased, open mind of what the Lord wants you to do. I know when I answered the call of ministry, I did not want that. That was not my plan. And I fought it for a while. I think of Jonah. He knew what God wanted. He didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do it.
And so sometimes we pray, Lord, show me your will as long as what I want to do.
Exactly.
I surrender all but what I keep what I don't want to surrender.
Because, well, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, this idea of, and we're not just talking, oh, hey, you missed a meal. And I mean, we're talking, you know, you're really starving to death. I mean, when we have that type of hungering, then we're blessed. We're filled. David put it this way. He said, I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. He said, the ground, he said, that's how much I want you. As much as that ground needs a good refreshing rain, he said, that's how much that I need you. And I think that's absolutely true. I think if you really, you know, we're often told in more than one place, if you seek me and search for me with all of your heart, then you'll find. A lot of times it's half-hearted. A lot of times it's half-hearted. But again, repeating, the more we know God loves us, man, and there's all kinds of things that shout, God loves us. The more we know that God loves us, the more we're going to trust God, and the more we trust God, the more we really want God to show us the way. Because life is too short and too important and too powerful for us to just kind of wander around from here to there without being in the center of God's will. And, you know, one of the things that we absolutely get to know that God wants is simply this. I mean, it's part of following the Lord. God cares about the lost. God is not willing that any should perish. I mean, that's some of the strongest words that there are, right? Not willing that any should perish. I mean, we know then God's will in this matter. God wants us to be reaching out and taking care of others. We're going, we're making disciples. So that's not in question. The question becomes, and we kind of hinted at it earlier in the discussion, was simply this. You know, how does God want us to share his love with the people of Turbyville in 2015? It don't matter how God wanted us to do it back in 1999. It doesn't matter how God will want the church to share it in 2050 if the Lord hasn't already come back and if the church is still here. But for us right now, the preeminent question that we have to deal with is how does God want us to share his love with the people of Turbyville right here, right now, in our community? And the truth is, there's lots of good ways. There's lots of good ways to do it. It's been almost a year now. We even talked about this idea of different things that we could do as a church to boost and amplify and to reach out. And the truth is, it doesn't matter whether we follow that list or some other list. What matters is that we seek God's will and do what he wants us to do. It's the old prayer, show us the way we need to go, Lord. But the truth is, if not those that were listed, then what? Because it's just not good enough to say we need to be doing it. We've got to figure out ways to very practically get it done. And we've made some strides. I go back to the back of the school bash. It's not been that long since that. You know, one of the things that consistently said, it's a way that we can share the love of Christ in a practical way. And it's less about the supplies as it was the opportunity to gather our community in an environment to have fun, to share some time with them. And if enticing them to come and saying, we'll give you a few supplies, so be it. But we got them here to share the love of Christ, right? Amanda Sullivan shared how that she was stopped at IGA last Wednesday night. She shared how that she had been stopped at IGA, and someone thanked her for the fact that her church was willing to, trying to find this, and I may have deleted it already. How that they were thankful that her church had put that on. Laura Kelly sent me a text about a week ago and said that somebody had shared how that the devotional book that was provided, that somebody had contacted her and said, wow, that was just perfect. That's what our family needed. And I don't know about you. See, that's practical ways in which God is moving through our very meager efforts. The question then becomes is what's next? Well, maybe it's this Clarendon Christian Learning Center opportunity. Now, I think it's bigger than any one church can do in a school district. That's why, again, I was so thankful that the letters have gone out to all of our churches. But at the end of the day, you know, I pray that God uses and raises up and, hey, this is a way that we can plug into, share his love with our children. Do you have any lost friends? Y'all know any lost people? Do you? Wow. Yeah, yeah. You know, then I don't know about you, but I've been tussling with, what do we do now? What's our next step? Because we've said intentionally and faithfully. See, and intentionally, I like that word because it means it just doesn't. I mean, we're thinking this through. We're seeking the word. We're praying about it. We're letting God show us the way, but we're intentional about it. So what's next? And it's like, well, do we know anybody that's lost? Do we have any friends that are lost? You know, should we have the old type of friend day celebration where we really work to invite people to come? Do we have a friend day celebration built around Billy Graham's My Hope America? By the way, the new release will be out in November again. And we've seen some very direct fruit born from simply praying and participating in that from a couple of years ago. People are now members of our church that weren't going to church, have been baptized, that hadn't been baptized, and now are. All right, so do we do that? How does God want us to share his love with Turbyville in 2015? Do we try something new and different? I don't know. You guys got any ideas? I'm always open to ideas. In fact, I like traveling new territory. The ruts nearly aren't so deep. Or do we maybe we intentionally try something different with our holiday season this year? We've got Thanksgiving and Christmas. They come around every year. And for the most part, most Americans celebrate Thanksgiving. And, you know, I guess we can't say everybody celebrates Christmas, but a whole lot of people celebrate Christmas. So do we want to become intentional and do something there? How does God want us to do it in 2015? And if we do it, how many new people will be a part of our church in 2016 that aren't here right now? Because I believe the more that we know that God loves us, and every day I find out how much God loves me, and the more that I find out how much he loves me, the more I want to trust him, and the more I really want him to show me the way. And when I really get serious with him, kind of back to Dr. Blank's, when we get serious with him, he will show us the way. There's an old song, something about through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. If we'll do that, but it isn't just the preacher's responsibility. It isn't just the chairman of the board of stewards' responsibility or the board as a whole's responsibility. As Christians and followers of Jesus, we're all in this together. And we all have to answer the question, how does God want us to do it right now? And will we be willing to follow if he wants to lead us down a new path? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the power of your word. We thank you that so long ago, David put these words together about your unfailing love. And it truly is just that, unfailing. It never lets us down. It never comes up short. It's always what we need. And Lord, part of that love really is that you are going to guide us and show us exactly the way that we need to go. You're going to lead us to the places we need to be, to the type of work you want us to do, to, Lord, just every detail of our life, Lord, you'll take care of if we're just willing to follow. And you'll do the same not only for us as individuals, but as a church. And so tonight, Lord, we're seeking to know. We know how much your love has meant to us, and we know how much that you love other people. And so, Lord, we just want you to show us how that we need to love the people of our community right here and right now. Because, Lord, we want them to know how good that love is as much as we know how good it is. So thank you for this time together. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we're going to have got a couple prayer requests and things we need to, before we divide up into our groups for prayer. First of all, don't forget, let's start praying very diligently. You've only got about 5 days left to pray for this meeting come Monday night. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit has nudged you and said, oh, you didn't sign the sheet and you should have signed up already, there's a sign-up sheet to let the group that's putting this together know how many is coming so that they can know how much to prepare. So it's out in the hallway, and I would encourage you, first of all, to come. Secondly, make sure you sign up. But let's be in prayer for this, that God will truly show us as a community of churches what we need to do. I'm kind of excited about that. The second thing that I've got tonight is Bobby is going to be having a heart cath in the morning, and he's got to be there at 6 a.m., and so the heart cath is somewhere around 7, I'm guessing. All right. So we need to be in prayer for him, and that they'll be able to go in and see what's going on, and if there is something going on, take care of it. So any other prayer needs tonight? Yes, Justin. We will absolutely do that. Absolutely. Dr. Blank.
I think if you pray for Gladys, she's been having some real breathing issues. Had her to a cardiologist, and everything seems to be all right heart-wise. And we've been to the pulmonologist for one trip, and he wants to see her back again. It could be related to the bronchitis she had, but she's having some real breathing issues.
Okay.
So pray for my wife, if you would.
We sure will. It definitely will be. It's been sent out to everybody. Everybody on our email list has gotten it. We've sent, I believe there's a list of 19 or 20 churches that we sent physical letters to early last week to give them a couple of weeks, but we will highlight it Sunday morning as well.
first meeting, they were discussing whether we go from here. And so somebody suggested, why don't we spend a season of prayer? And for 1 year, they met once a week with a group and prayed for that school.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Lee said, in God's service, yet has answered that prayer.
Amen.
And there's a lot of logistics in getting going, but it's really worth the effort.
Amen. Yes, Felicia.
I mentioned a team member from my team, with one another Christian. It's his birthday today, he's turning 16, and with that comes more like freedom and stuff. And, he actually has a pretty hard home life, but his family's really wealthy, so his parents don't spend time with him, and they have jobs. So he's independent and stubborn, and he's going to be more stubborn as he gets older. So it's Charlie, just pray for him.
We sure will. Yes, Monty. Okay. That's right.
Just our nation and God's people and family, like never before, we're tested and tried.
Absolutely.
Did this beer may make it home?
I do not know for sure. She was supposed to, but I did not hear. All right, Nick Shore. Absolutely, Sue. Better, but got a ways to go, as I understand it.
Shelby, Cook.
I believe our list is long enough that we'll probably already forget some, but thankfully God will not.
My neighbor Clay.
Okay. Okay. We will. Clay.
My sister-in-law is pregnant with their third child. And it would be okay, but she actually has disintegrating disc disease. So each pregnancy pushes limits and is life-threatening for her and the babies. So it's going to be a little boy. I just pray that her name's Caitlin. She's pregnant. She'll be okay and the baby will be okay.
All right. Caitlin. All right, let's gather up in groups of three or four, and let's spend some time praying together.